Good morning again. Smile at me when you say that. Good morning. So good to see you. Man, what a blessing. Isn't God good? God is so good. I tell you what, let's just first start by standing and let's have a Thanksgiving prayer today for our great God. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the privilege of worshiping. Lord, our worship is, you're just worthy of so much more. You have provided every good gift, and Lord, every blessing of this life we owe to you. Our children, our homes, our very life itself, and eternal life, Lord, you bought and paid for upon the cross of Calvary. And we rejoice in your sacrifice, the blood sacrifice that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we rejoice in church family. Just thank you, Lord, that you have built your church and given us a commission to spread the gospel, to make disciples, to baptize disciples, teaching them. Lord, we thank you for entrusting us with that great mission. And now, Lord, as we open your word, Lord, we want to hear from you. I just pray that you would speak to us today. Reveal your presence. We know you're here, for where two or three are gathered together, you are in our midst, and we are here in your name. Lord, we want to hear from you. So bless your word. Provide, Lord, what's needed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Keep standing. Keep standing. Ephesians chapter 5. Today it's focused. Today we focus. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 says, Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus. And in this writing, verse 15, he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Christ. Again, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ken Worthen, would you lead us, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you once again for your blessing, God. Lord, help us so that you'll be with Brother Doug and proclaim Jesus, all the word people to preach, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray.
Amen. You may be seated. Interesting verse and the starting point of our study today, verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Have you ever sought the will of the Lord? Have you ever wondered what the will of the Lord is? Have you ever been in a position where you just didn't know, Lord, what I do from here? Where do I go? What direction? What am I supposed to do? I think we all have. There are times you just got to get down on your knees and get serious with God and say, God, reveal your will to me. But here in this text, it's a little different. What we're dealing with today is the obvious will of God. You know, you may not know every turn and every direction God has for you, but I can tell you this, wherever you are, you can know what you're supposed to be doing because the will of God is very plain. That no matter where you are, you should be serving the Lord. Amen? Today, that's kind of what we're, that is what we are pursuing. We're going to understand the will of the Lord. And we're going to begin this understanding with a life of precision. In the text, we're told to walk circumspectly. That word circumspectly, it means to walk accurately. Or it's a life that's characterized by exactness. Give you an example. I'm not a carpenter, but I've watched carpenters as they work. That thing they have called a measuring tape, You ever notice how they pay really close attention to it? I don't get it. I don't see the big deal. Inch or two doesn't make a difference, right? Not a big deal. But they seem to be very attached to a tape measure. And I have noticed an inch or two does make a big deal, especially when you've got a building that you're trying to put on a slab of concrete. You want that thing to be square, right? You want it to be put up right and with a foundation, with a strength. And so you don't want it to be 2 inches wider on one end than it is on the other. You no longer have a square. You have a whatever, a building out of line. Well, it's kind of the concept here. When he says, walk circumspectly, he's saying, be very accurate, be very exact, and be very intentional in your walk. There should be a stability in the life of every child of God, a firmness in your position in Christ, a life that is without change. Do you realize one of the things that is so greatly needed in Christianity today are people who refuse to change? I'm not talking about, okay, we change the way we worship or, you know, we sing a little different styles. I'm not talking about that. What I am talking about is how wishy-washy Christians seem to be today. Today we stand for one thing, and tomorrow when we're challenged we say, well, you know, we're all just sinners. No, if it was wrong yesterday, if it was sin yesterday, it's sin today. And it will still be sin tomorrow. There should be an exactness about us. A no question down to the basics. We do not move in our positions in Jesus Christ. And that daily we take that stand, letting the world know, hey, we don't move. We don't move. We stand on the Word of God, the same Word of God that has been stood on for centuries. We need people you can count on. People who will be exact in their walk. Parents who will be very exact in what they teach their children. Church members who will be very exact in their walk with God. Do you realize going to church should never be an option? Oh, wait a minute. Three people realize that. Going to church is not an option. That's the exactness I'm talking about. Whereas Sunday comes, you go to church. Not because the preacher said to go to church, but because we're told in the Word of God to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. You know, I'm talking about stability. I'm talking about an exactness in our lives that no matter where we are and no matter who's looking at us, that the world can see Jesus Christ living through us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Do you realize every day is an opportunity to be intentional and put into practice what we know about God? Every day. Not just Sundays. You know, there's never a day off as a Christian. You may go on a vacation. Wonderful. I think we all need vacations every once in a while. Amen? Oh, come on. Come on, that was easy. We all need vacations every once in a while. Amen? But you never have a day off as a child of God. Okay? When you're on vacation, you should still be living that exactness. Living that standard. Showing the world who you belong to. Walk circumspectly. And redeem the time. Verse 16. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Be intentional in your time. You know, one of our great excuses is I do not have time. You ever use that? That's a good old standby for me. I'm sorry, I just don't have time. Let me rephrase that for all of us. I'm sorry, I don't have time to waste. Okay? You don't either. This is the one life that God has given us. And you can't get it back. This is a one-shot good deal. You've got 24 hours in every day. That's why He said, redeem the time. That means to literally make the most of every opportunity. When you start your day or at 12:01, at midnight, the day begins. You have 24 hours, and whatever you spend that 24 hours doing, it's gone. You'll never get it back. Use it to the glory of God. You see, be intentional in your time management. You know what I've discovered? I have discovered next week never comes. What I'm talking about, I'm talking about quit procrastinating those things that you say you're going to do for God. Okay? There are things that I'm going to do next week that I've been going to do next week since I've been at Victory Missionary Baptist Church. It's confession. I apologize. I'm sorry. But next week for me never comes. It just never gets here. And I've noticed that same thing happens in church members. I'll do that next week. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, when I retire, I'm going to. No, if you won't do it now, you won't do it when you retire. Okay? Redeem the time. Make the most of the day that God has given. Every day's a gift. Proverbs 27:1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day brings forth. You don't know if you will have tomorrow. If there's something you need to do with God, you better do it today. 1 Peter 1:24, all flesh is grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass, and the grass withers and the flower falls away. You don't know how much longer you have. All you have is today. That's why James said, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a little vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. You know what I've discovered? Really important truth. When I was a kid, a month was a long time. The older I get, I miss months now. I go to bed at night looking forward to next month, and I get up the next morning and it's gone. It's just passed us like the summer. Do you realize we're in the middle of July this summer? July's half over. Kids are going back to school in a month. I know, parents, you're saying amen on the inside. You just don't have the heart to do it outside, right? Oh, point being, the clock's ticking. We got to be intentional in serving the Lord. That's what Paul's telling the church at Ephesus. Be intentional. Psalms chapter 90, verse 12, the psalmist writes, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. This is all you got. If you're going to be a parent today. Okay? If you're going to teach your kids today. If you're going to be a church member today. If you're going to get involved in a ministry and support a missionary, do it today. You don't have time to put it off any longer. There's no procrastination with God. Take full advantage of every day. Live intentional. Why? Because the days are indeed evil. Oh, you know where we're living, right? I don't have to tell you about Supreme Court decisions. We all know. But look around. If you don't do something, who will? You know, I saw a news story last week. It breaks my heart. And I've forgotten what state it was. It's one of those that just kind of runs, you know. And that news story was some state was putting into the kindergarten curriculum to indoctrinate kindergartners on gay, lesbian, transgender lifestyle. Kindergartens. Listen, I don't want to have the talk of the birds and the bees with a kindergartner. A kindergartner doesn't need to hear that stuff, let alone the filthy debauchery of the world. Okay? But I'm going to tell you, you as a parent better be on your toes. And I feel for you having to have that talk with a kindergartner, but if you're in the public schools, beloved, it's coming. And you better tell your kids how God feels about it. Teach them. Teach them today. Do not let your kids be educated by our government. Because our government's blowing it. The days are evil. If there's something you're going to do, you better do it now. Because you might not ever have that chance again. Listen, be intentional. Be intentional. Have a life of precision. There's more to life than getting up, going to work, coming home, going to bed, getting up, starting all over the next day. I want to tell you, life becomes intentional, you'll start seeing blessings of God. There's nothing like leading someone to Jesus. You know that? You want to get me excited, you know, let me watch somebody ask Jesus to be their Savior. That's when life gets good. That's when it's exciting. Have you seen that? Live intentional so that when God puts an opportunity before you, you share Jesus. So that when God gives a teaching opportunity before you, you teach. So when God gives a parenting opportunity, you parent, but take advantage of every day. Then, live with an attitude of praise. My goodness. Scared myself. Not only do I want to be intentional in my walk with God and my good works toward God, I want to be intentional in my attitude toward God. My attitude of praise. Verse 18. Be not drunk with wine in which is dissipation. Dissipation is reckless living. What he's saying is don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Be not drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. That's what I want. How about you? I want to be filled with the Spirit. And this is a very interesting verse in that, you know, be filled with the Spirit. It means to make totally full. And the interesting part is, it's a command. But it's passive voice. Which means it's something that's done to you. Okay? You're commanded to be filled with the Spirit, but it's God that does the filling. So if it's up to God, how can He command me to be filled with the Spirit? Because you control whether you are or not. Okay? You do. And you know how? It's if you're going to be filled with anything, you're going to have to get rid of whatever else there is keeping you from being filled. For example, to be full of water in a container, that container has to be completely empty of anything else, or it's not full of water. If there is a cup of sand in that container, and then you fill it the rest of the way with water, it's not full of water. It's full of sand and water. Right? That's the concept here when he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Understand, you are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. And we have the promise of God's Word where for children of God that the Holy Spirit resides within us. Right? Holy Spirit lives on the inside. That being the case, God does not desire to share His home with the enemy. Verse 27 of this same chapter, We're told, do not give place to the devil. Literally, do not give the devil a room in your life. Now imagine this, if you will. Imagine this, if you will. God does not want to share an apartment with Satan. For what? God goes through a long list. And He goes down this long list and He says, don't lie, don't steal, don't let there be corrupt communication, don't let there be bitterness, don't wrath and anger and fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, and adultery. He goes down that long list for the last part of chapter 4 and the first part of chapter 5. He says, don't do these things. Why? Number one, because it grieves the Holy Spirit. Okay, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by which you were sealed the day of redemption. It means to make sad or bring sorrow to. Do not bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit of God with these activities. Why is it so hurtful to God for me to be involved in these activities? It's because, back to verse 27, do not give place to the devil. Do not give the devil a room in your heart, in your life. Okay? Do a room inspection, a house inspection. You know, when we bought our house here in Russellville, this guy came out and he went through the house and he went through rooms and he found cracks and, you know, things and that we never would have seen. Which was a good thing. I want to tell you something. We need to have room inspections or home inspections on occasion as children of God. We need to stop. Just go through our life room by room. That bitterness that you've been holding on to forever, that's placed to the devil. You'll never have the joy that you should have as a child of God until you deal with that bitterness, that unforgiveness that you have. That you've been carrying for 50 years. Oh, Brother Doug, you don't understand what they did. It don't matter what they did. You have to understand your unforgiveness is not punishing them. It's hindering you and your relationship with God. Okay? Do a house inspection. Go through room by room. And I want to tell you, when you find that place where Satan is residing and he's taking over a room in your life, you stop and you get him out. You tell him you are a blood-bought child of God and he is not welcome there. And you know what? I believe in that. I believe. I am a child of God. Yes, Satan attacks and he tries to tear up, but beloved, my God is greater than Satan. And I do not want to give to God what I do not want to give to Satan what belongs to God. I'm sorry. Do the house inspection. Do the house inspection. Be filled with the Spirit by getting rid of the things that prevent you from being filled. Second thing, making melody. Oh, I love this next part. This is awesome. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's an awesome verse. Awesome verse. Speaking to yourselves, sharing with one another. What? In psalms, what are psalms? In the book of Psalms. That's what psalms are. And hymns, what are hymns? Spiritual songs or songs of praise. And spiritual songs, they were sung in the New Testament day when we gathered like this. So it's talking about just praising the Lord together and encouraging one another through praising the Lord. But here's the really interesting part. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see, there is a denomination that takes that, and we're not going to get into denominationalism, but I'm going to tell you. There is a group that takes that and says you cannot have music in church because of this scripture right here. And that's a foundation for them, you know. But I want to share with you what that means. First of all, singing. Singing. What does it mean to sing? Well, it's pretty easy. It means to make music with your voice. Singing and making melody. What does it mean to make melody? Literally, that Greek word means to strike the strings. You know? I love it when we strike when these guys strike the strings up here. Don't you? Beth strikes the strings on the piano. They strike the strings over there. Blow the horns. I love it. I love it. But see, here's where the difference comes. It's when it says, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And they say, all that's supposed to, you know, the melody is supposed to come from your heart, or supposed to be done in your heart. But you're only allowed to sing with your voice. But it says singing and making melody. So if you cross off one, you've got to cross off both. Okay? If you can't strike the strings, you can't sing in that public environment. I can just imagine. Can you imagine this? Wouldn't this be so cool? Let's all join in. How great thou art. Ready? One, two, three, go. Amen. Wasn't that good? No. No. That don't work. Okay? But what the Scripture says, it says, produce it with your voice, strike the strings or accompany it with an instrument, with a heart. Here's where worship gets good. Here's where worship gets good, when it comes from the heart. You know, when we're not going through motion. I mean, it's easy to come, okay, let's turn to page so-and-so, shall we gather at the river, la-da-da-da-da-da, here we go, amen, glad that's over. Now, preacher, do your thing so we can go home. No. It's when we come to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and we come to strike the strings together as a congregation, and it comes from the heart. I want to tell you, when you're at a heartfelt worship service a time or two, nothing else would do. Amen? I mean, it matters. And Brother Dale does a wonderful job in leading us in that heartfelt worship service. Beloved, be intentional in your praise, in your worship. And not just here, but in daily life. You know what I've discovered? Praising God fixes a lot of stuff. And when I'm feeling bad, if I'm just alone, let me sing and praise God. And I guarantee you, I cannot sing How Great Thou Art without feeling a little better at the end. Yeah. When life's not going my way, and things are not like I think they're supposed to be, and I get alone, and I can praise God with praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. It does something. When the roll is called up beyond, when we all get to heaven, that's a good one. I don't care who you are. Amen. Yeah. But what He's building here, He's building not only a life that we talked about a while ago of intentional good works and taking advantage of the day to do the will of the Lord, but He's giving us a picture of a life that is intentional in worship, both public and private. Listen, don't forget to praise the Lord. Because it does you good. Okay? It does you good. I dare you. I dare you to try and be angry and bitter while you sing How Great Thou Art. I dare you. You can't do it. You see, there's something about praise. There's something about praise. There's also something about thanksgiving. No, giving thanks there in verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks for what? All things. I like the way that's worded. Giving thanks for all things. All times, for all things. It includes the good things. You know, you ever get an unexpected discover some unexpected money? Do you praise God when that happens? Boy, I do. You know, I wasn't expecting that blessing, and God blessed me with some. Oh, thank you, Lord. But let me ask you this: do you praise God for the difficulty? Remember, all things, all times. Do you praise God when you're sick? Now, that's a little bit harder, obviously. You know, I've requested prayer. Been had this little thing going on for a couple of weeks and 3 weeks of just sickness. And I know I'm a baby. But it's serious when I'm sick. I'm just sharing with you, okay? It's harder to praise God when you're sick. But I want to tell you something, it works just as well. I can have a little praise service and I feel better. May not completely cure the problem, but I guarantee you it's nice to be lifted up. I'm saying praise works. Praise works. Praise God for the good times. Praise Him for the bad times. And think about the bad times. You know what I've learned the most? It's been the tough times. The best education I've ever had was when life was at its toughest. And interesting enough, the closest I've ever been to the Lord was those extremely tough times. I kind of realize, and I get a glimpse into Paul's mindset when he had a thorn in the flesh and he prayed to God three times, God, remove this thorn in the flesh. Please remove this thorn in the flesh. Three times he prayed. Remember what God told him? My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, when God told him, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul said, I will therefore most gladly boast in my infirmities. See, Paul knew the secret too. He knew how to praise God. That's why in prison, Paul and Silas at midnight, after having been beaten and just almost just so shamefully treated, and at midnight they're not saying, "Whoa, Lord, help me, get me out of here." They're praising God. I think that's a vital part of something we very often forget, and it often results in us quitting, backing off, and failing. We forget to praise God along the way. Listen, you can't be intentional without intentional praise. And you can't be consistent on a daily basis without intentional praise. Giving thanks to God always for all things. To our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, you know what I've discovered? God is good all the time. All the time. And He's worthy of my praise all the time. Because even if I never received another blessing, and I do hope I do receive other blessings in the future, but let me tell you, His death upon the cross of Calvary for my sins to purchase me, so that I might have an eternal home in heaven and a relationship with God the Father, was more than enough. Jesus gave His life so that I could live. Are you a child of God? If not, why not? Yes, God is good. But if you don't know Him as your Savior, His goodness doesn't matter to you. My friend, I want to invite everyone at this point to begin a room inspection. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Number one, does the house belong to God? Does the house belong to God? Are you a child of the King? If not, right where you sit, you need to call upon the name of the Lord. You need to ask Jesus to save you. Number two, as you go through the house, you say, yes, Brother Doug, I know the house. This house belongs to God. Okay, as you go through the house, room to room, you know, the room of your private thoughts, have you given anything to Satan there? The room of your prayer time, has that been used in a while? The room of your Bible study. The room of your temperament. The room of your praise. Can you go through each room and you find each room solely dedicated to the glory of God? As I said, God doesn't want to share His house with the devil. If you find a room that is not being used by God, you need to repent and say, devil, get out of here. This altar will be open for you. And you can take care of business right where you sit or stand in just a moment. It doesn't matter. You just take care of business. Maybe you're here today and the Lord is leading you to become a member of this church and to join us as we move forward for the glory of God. Whatever you need to do, will you listen and respond to Jesus? Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for Your Word and Your reminder, Lord, that we're here to be exact. We're here to be intentional. We're here to live for Your honor and glory wherever we are and whatever we're doing. Lord, we're also here to praise You. Lord, let our praise ring loudly and true. Help us, Lord, to praise You wherever we are, whatever we're doing. Good times as well as bad. And Lord, I pray that in this invitation, we will do open and honest room inspections. Those rooms that we've allowed to be inhabited by Satan, I pray that You'd kick him out now. We're told in Your Word to draw near to You and You'll draw near to us. To resist the devil and he'll flee from us. So, Lord, we desire to draw near to You. To evict Satan of any place that he has in our lives. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Now make us, give us the courage to respond in Jesus' name.